Hey there, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Smooth Burrito. I'm Frank.
And I'm Trevor.
And we're old. We're old men. And we're going to talk about video games and why you young whippersnappers need to play the ColecoVision.
Fuck yeah.
So, what have you been playing, man?
It's been a while. I played a lot. I think the vast majority of my time was probably spent with three games. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Diablo 4, and Final Fantasy 16. I have a lot to say about these three games. Tears of the Kingdom, like Breath of the Wild for a long time, was not only like my favorite Zelda game, but was my favorite game, period. It was comfort food. It was a game I would go back to pretty regularly just to do random shit in. I just really loved it. Tears of the Kingdom just made Breath of the Wild obsolete. It is Breath of the Wild, but it expanded on the Breath of the Wild formula in ways I never could have thought would be like possible or doable. There's just such creativity and the game design and the gameplay loop. And if one of my major criticisms of Breath of the Wild was that the world was like a little empty and barren in places, Tears of the Kingdom kind of resolves that, but not really in the way that you'd think. The world still has its like pockets that are quiet and desolate, but the way that you can traverse the world and the different kind of tiers it has. I just said tiers. Like
Tiers of the kingdom. Tiers of the kingdom.
The tiers, because it's got like this lower, like underground area. Then it's got the main level that you're used to. And then it's got like these sky islands. And it has a seamless, you know, like I watched a video of someone like going from the highest point of the sky islands to the lowest point of like the underground area seamlessly, like no loading, no like skipping, nothing, just seamlessly through there. The polish in this game is just absolutely insane and something that you don't really see often these days. Like Tears of the Kingdom is absolutely incredible. Best Zelda story in terms of like actual like storytelling and writing and like characters and stuff like that. It's just so well done. Tears of the Kingdom is incredible. If this is kind of like the sign off for the Switch or whatever, then they definitely did it right for sure.
Yeah. Have we heard any Switch 2 rumblings as of late? I know we hear it every now and again.
Yeah. There's been a lot of rumblings about and almost confirmations about dev kits being out there. Confirmations around this, definitely. You know, there's a lot of like wonder around, is Nintendo gonna abandon like the Switch concept and go like completely rogue and do something different? But it seems to be a Switch 2 from all the dev kits and like all the rumors and all the people talking about it.
Yeah, I would think so, unless their plan is to like embed the console in people's arms.
Yeah. I mean, what if they just went back to like a traditional box, like home box connected to your TV or whatever, instead of like the hybrid type thing, you know?
Yeah.
If their idea was to like try to compete on a level with like PlayStation or whatever with like power, I'm like, Nintendo's never done that. And their best gimmick of all time was the Switch.
Like, yeah.
The handheld, hybrid of that was the best idea they've ever had.
I could see them like doing some goofy shit. I don't know, like having a base station or something that has like more juice to it. Like, you know, maybe an external GPU or something for people who are interested, but like that would be it probably. I can't see them going back to having like a full like console, really.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Like, I always kind of thought like maybe the Switch Pro would just be like this, like docked external GPU type thing that they could like kind of beef up. I mean, dude, the the Switch on like a TV now looks like the games that are coming out right now, it looks so bad compared to what you're looking at on like a PS5 or something. It's showing its age for sure.
Yeah, it's a Tegra 1 processor.
Yeah, I'm primarily playing in handheld mode, but I will say like what Nintendo's first party does with their games, like Tears of the Kingdom and even Pikmin 4 that recently came out, like it's actually pretty incredible what they're able to get out of this thing for how old it is, you know?
Yeah, they've always been real smart about like squeezing the best of their hardware. I was actually listening to a video about the Nintendo 64 and like why programmers found it hard to develop for and shit. And Nintendo is just always like, they know their consoles and they are down with the tricks that they need to utilize to make things look good, or at least trick people into thinking that things look better than they are.
Oh yeah, 100%. There's definitely some like tricks going on in there, like Tears of the Kingdom. I still can't fathom, like, as software engineers, you know, I see some of the things Tears of the Kingdom does with its like physics and like kind of how it handles like this building component to the game design and how bug free and glitch free it is, and I just can't imagine the QA for this. Like, I just can't imagine the back and forth between the QA and the engineers on a game like this. It just, I don't even know how it released in the state that it did. It's nuts. So crazy.
And you mentioned two other games, right?
Yeah. So Diablo 4, I don't know if you got a chance to play this one, Frank.
I have a copy. I haven't touched it myself, but my wife's been playing it, and her verdict on it is that it is Diablo 3 with a Diablo 4 coat of paint, and a few other things. She's still fucking playing it, so like she seems to be enjoying it.
Well, she's not wrong. I mean, it is Diablo, very much Diablo, which is exactly what I want out of a Diablo game. I don't want them to like change the formula. That game is has a gameplay loop that is like so addictive and crazy fun and like mindless that like it is its own thing that I really enjoy. And I put a lot of hours into it. I played my first run through as a necromancer, complete the campaign. You know, did some, I think I got him up to level like 60 or something. Then season one started. I started a druid and a sorcerer, played them for like 20 or 30 levels. So I've been playing a lot of Diablo. It is like my fallback. It is like my kind of like what I play whenever I have nothing else to play or don't feel like playing anything else. I play Diablo. And yes, it has a new coat of paint that I like much better than Diablo 3 coat of paint.
Yeah, Diablo 3 looked too much like World of Warcraft for my taste.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And this looks fucking grotesque and disgusting and great. And it's like, it's very like creepy and Diablo. It runs great. They had the bit when the season one first came out and they had the big patch and everybody was pissed off, but they seem to have fixed that with the newest patch. So props to them, because I played before the newest patch and was pretty pissed off with some of the sorcerer stuff they did, and then played with the newest patch and a lot of that stuff seems fixed. And my main issue was a couple of the sorcerer things were an issue, and then like the population of some of the dungeons was a little lower than I would have liked. And those things are definitely resolved. So at least from my perspective, the issues I had with it, I don't know what everybody else's, I'm sure other people had other issues. My issues with it, like pre the newest patch, have been resolved by the newest patch. So I'm happy. I've been dipping back in there. I like the game a lot. It is a game I'll probably play for a long, long time to come. And I think you should jump on, Frank, and join up. My fucking clan is the Gang Green Gang.
Nice. So,
yeah, you have to join up with us and we'll have a good time.
Yeah, I'll play it at some point. Like part. So I wasn't going to buy it initially, and then my friend, shouts to Chance, he got me a copy for my birthday, which, and then, like, Danny wanted, I knew Danny wanted to play it more than I did, so I was just like, it's just sitting there, why don't you, like, play it, because I'm not currently. And the reason why we didn't get two copies, because, like, we normally end up getting two copies of games, because we both want to play together, but I don't want to give Activision money.
Right.
So I need to wait until it hits like Humble Bundle or something where I can give like most, if not all of the money to like charity or something.
Yeah.
Or find like a key seller or like, I don't know. But yeah.
Or get it as another gift.
Yeah, exactly. What was your third game?
It was Final Fantasy 16.
Oh yeah.
Now, I feel a few different ways about this because I'm a really big Final Fantasy fan. I've played every single mainline Final Fantasy game and some of the not mainline Final Fantasy games. But every time a Final Fantasy game comes out, it launches. That is a day one buy for me. That is a play until I finish. Like, that is a big deal. Love Final Fantasy games. It's kind of a nostalgia thing. Me and my uncle, who's passed away now, we used to play a lot of Final Fantasy. He's the one who got me into the series. So it's like a big deal to me to play these games. And prior to the launch of Final Fantasy 16, I was like open to the new action heavy style and like the new kind of like old school Game of Thrones kind of aesthetic that they're going for. They had the mature rating on there. So lots of blood and, you know, mature themes and stuff like that. And so I knew it was going to be different. And I liked all of that about this game. The combat system is great. It's so fun. It's a great time to run around and just fuck shit up, right? It screams like Devil May Cry. I think one of the older like Devil May Cry developers helped out with the combat system on this game. It shows. It was great fun.
Nice.
There's one huge problem I have with it, and it's the linearity of it. This harkens back to like maybe I want to say Final Fantasy 13, which was more was like the first really more linear Final Fantasy that I can recall. Like whenever I played the mainline games, I think 13 was like the first one where I jumped in. I was like, this is a lot more linear than what I'm like used to. Like it's a very more like story focused game where it has you go from like point A, point B. And like 13 ends up opening up a little bit way, 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 way deep into the game, but definitely not enough. You know what I mean? And so 16 seems to keep that linearity for like the entire game. And it basically is really, really focused on this great story. I really like the characters. The main, you know, protagonist is great. I like him.
What the hell was his name again? Clive.
Yeah. I like him. I like the other characters that get involved. His uncle is like my favorite character in the whole game. Like every time that guy is in there, it's a fucking laugh. It's like, it's just fun. So there's like a lot of characters like that. I did like that aspect of the game. I just want the, like in an RPG, in a Final Fantasy game, I want the grinding and like the things that I'm doing, like the gear that I'm getting, the weapons that I'm crafting, you know, like these things to all have an impact. And when you make a story so linear, it just feels like all that other RPG stuff's just not necessary. Because there's no incentive for me to like, okay, well, maybe I want to like fight these extra bosses or grind this or do these side quests or do like explore over here because I might find some unique thing that's gonna help me do this other thing. But everything is seems in this game seems so focused on like that main storyline that it kind of like just keeps you on that path. And yeah, you're allowed to like veer off and like go to different, like fast travel to like different sections. But even those sections are like super linear, you know what I mean? They're not like super open. And so you get used to it after a while. It's a really long game. I may have spent, I want to say like 50 hours in the campaign.
Damn.
But I did do like a lot of, you know, like there were like little mini side quests or like little, you know, like bosses that you could like go fight or whatever. But I just never felt that anything that I was finding, like any of the gear that I was getting, any of the things that I was crafting had like a real impact, because some mainline story thing that I would do would give me the stuff that I need to craft for a weapon that would be better than everything else that I would have found previously, right? So it's like, they're setting you up
Yeah, because like
for.
if your shit's that linear, you're gonna end up like tailoring the difficulty to the idea of, oh, I'm just gonna run through the campaign real quick.
Yeah, exactly. And so like they set you up on this like main storyline, right? And it's like, oh, like I went through like this phase kind of the like more, I'd say like the, you know, from like the 20 to 40% mark of the main campaign where I was like going out and trying to do side shit and like gather, you know, materials and like craft some weapons and like do all that stuff. And then I would like craft some weapon that I thought was like cool, right? And then I would do like two main quests and they would give me all the stuff I needed to craft some weapon that was just like way better. So like all that side stuff I did and all the stuff I searched for and everything else was just like kind of pointless,
Damn.
because the main quest ended up just giving me the thing that I needed to be geared up and ready for whatever was next in the main story. And for me, that kind of just like from a pacing standpoint, from like an old, like from kind of somebody who's from like the old school days where like, yeah, you have to grind, like you got to work to get the good shit in the game. So for somebody that likes doing that, that kind of sucked. But overall, the boss fights in Final Fantasy 16 are the best boss fights in any game I've ever played. They're just some like incredible set pieces. This was one of those games where like I played on a PlayStation 5 and it was like the true, like first like true kind of like I want to say next gen type of experience where it like really fucking blew me away. Like how incredible this game looked, how well it ran, like in some of these boss fights, and like how everything just kind of came together, and like how the mechanics would change up on a dime, like things would get larger than life and then kind of get really like, you know, close up and personal. And it was just like, it was just so insane, like so high budget, like so much went into this game. Dude, and it was so clear, so obvious. Am I gonna rank Final Fantasy 16 as like a top, as like a top five Final Fantasy game for me? No, I'm not. And some people talk about it like it is. It's not. It's just not up there with like the top dogs. It's not.
They're not
But
making them better than six.
it's just not happening. I would say like the Final Fantasy 7 remake that they did comes a lot closer in terms of modern Final Fantasy into being up the ranks with the top dogs. Like Final Fantasy VII Remake, the way they did the mechanics, the way they kept true to the original, and the way they tweaked the story and some of the characters to kind of modernize things. Like that's how you do a Final Fantasy game, man. In modern times, Final Fantasy VII Remake and like hopefully the next one when it comes out even builds upon that. That's how you do it. Final Fantasy 16, great, but just not on that level.
Yeah, I watched some footage. Like, I've watched a lot of gameplay of 16, and honestly, like, it looked more like a Dragon's Dogma or something to me than like a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, but Final Fantasy is known for just doing some weird shit.
Oh yeah, they experiment all the time.
Yeah, and that's what I like about it. But yeah, this one, I just would have rather not been so linear. You know what I mean?
Nice. Well, I have been playing F-Zero X on Nintendo 64.
Hell yeah, dude.
So the Project 64 3.0 came out probably, I think, like a year ago or something like that, but I finally got around to installing it, and not only is, like the emulation, that's probably the best N64 emulator you're going to get, and also they're smart enough to where in their new graphics plugin, they let you assign per game settings, so, like, some shit, like you change it and it'll make the game run faster, sure, but, you know, you're going to have compatibility issues. And part of the issue was that, like, the machine I was running it on, this one in the living room, is not good. But it was mostly, like, just stuff that was a question of emulation speed. The thing about F-Zero X is that you need it to run at that solid 60 frames a second. If you're, like, one or two frames off, you're going to feel it. And I have never been able to squeeze that out of an emulator, no matter how fast the computer was. It always felt slightly off. Even Nintendo can't get that shit right. Like, people complain about the same thing on the Switch version of F-Zero X. Like,
yeah.
But Project 64.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
With every single setting that says fastest but least compatibility with games, like, if you turn all of those on, it is perfect. It's buttery smooth. It's what you want. There's only one. There are only a couple of graphical bugs, which are very, very minor. Like, there's a point where it doesn't call, like, clear on the when you're transitioning between menus, so you get some, like, remnant course select graphics until the new ones draw, like, over it. So there's some stuff in, like, the overscan, which honestly could have been there on the console for all I know, because you can't see the overscan on console. And like, same thing when you're transitioning into a race, there's a transition that I'm pretty sure is supposed to, like, be a dissolve that just kind of dips to black, oddly, but, like, those are the two things I noticed, and I will gladly accept those two things for full speed F-Zero X, especially because you can, like, run it in a higher resolution and shit, like, it'll make it look, like, real fucking good. There's this guy who has this HD pack out yet that I was gonna try to apply next. I haven't messed with it yet, but it did. It looked pretty interesting.
That's cool, man. F-Zero is always fun.
Yeah, and that game is still fucking difficult. Like, I always played on novice, and I'm not doing that anymore. And Captain Falcon is a rubber banding motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, F-Zero is tough, man. I love those games. I mean, I always wonder, like, what's the next, like, what was it? Somebody posted something that was like, what was more likely to be rebooted next? And it was like F-Zero, Star Fox, or Kid Icarus.
Oh, Jesus. I'd say at this point, did Sakurai retire, or did he just retire from Smash?
I don't know that he retired, period. Well, he's retired, like, three times, but he always just ends up making another Smash Bros. Game.
Yeah, so, like, I could see him doing another Kid Icarus, like, in the in-between times between him being convinced to make another Smash Bros. Game. I think that, like they're not going to touch Star Fox because of how Star Fox Zero went. Like, you might get another one of those on, like, the Switch 3 or something, but, like, I don't think they're going to touch it anytime soon. And granted, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, but, like, it just doesn't feel like that. And then, like, F-Zero, they just strip for parts to bolt shit onto Mario Kart.
I think F-Zero has a chance. Because Kid Icarus had a shot on the 3DS, and it was, like, mixed, right? It, like, got good reviews, but didn't sell that well, I don't think. And it used too much of, like, the stick of the bottom screen. I think it was just, like, too weird in the gameplay mechanics to get out there. And then Star Fox was on the Wii U, which was just a generation ago.
Yeah.
How many years ago was that? I want to say 10 to 15 years ago.
Something like Star that, Fox yeah. Zero. Yeah, like GX on the... No. GP Legend on the Game Boy Advance for North America. climax for Japanese people, because they got one that we didn't, the sequel to GP Legend.
Right. I think that there's a chance that F-Zero gets a shot. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that Nintendo has in their back pocket, and if Switch 2 comes out, they want to build some hype. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They release a new F-Zero game. I could see it.
I would love to see it. I think that there's a lot of creative shit that you could definitely do with that setting, especially, like, you don't have to make it just a racing game, because, like, the line that whenever people would ask, like, Miyamoto or somebody about, hey, is there going to be another F-Zero, is, like, we don't have any ideas for how to iterate on it, and we don't just want to make, like, another thing. Although I feel like in a lot of ways that's where they shoot themselves in the foot, because if they hadn't tried iterating on Star Fox Zero, it would have been a much better game, but I digress. So, like, I think if they realized that, like, and you kind of saw hints of it in GX with the Captain Falcon Adventure Mode, or whatever the fuck it was called, where, like, you know, he would have, like, these scenarios where he's actually meeting and interacting with, like, Samurai Goro, and you get to see, like, their relationship outside of, like, racing and shit, and, like, Captain Falcon's a fucking bounty hunter. If you wanted to make a mode where, like, you race, but also you run around beating the shit out of people, like, do that. Things that you want to farm out to Platinum. Just have Platinum make the next one, and have, like, a mode where it's racing, it's customization, and it is, like, beating the shit out of people for money. There you go. Yeah. I just made you a new F-Zero. But in the meantime, there is Aero GPX, which is an indie game that this guy's been working on. I backed them on Kickstarter. I'm in their Discord. There's a lot of interesting stuff happening, and it definitely looks like the... There have been other games that people have said this is an F-Zero successor, but they've always kind of targeted GX. This seems to be the first one that's actually targeting feeling like X on N64, and that's my F-Zero. Like, F-Zero is a game with a fucking metal soundtrack, okay?
Yeah.
Got metal and comic book art, and, like... But that's my biggest criticism of GX, is that I feel like the aesthetic was a massive step down. And then you had Climax, which, like, used the aesthetics from the anime, and that anime was, like, literally dubbed by 4 kids. That's the amount of money they spent on that anime.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, especially the later seasons of Yu-Gi-Oh! Where everything just looks really cheap. Like, in my mind, if you want to make an F-Zero anime, or really, in my mind, if you want to make an F-Zero X anime, you need, like, first off, you're doing, like, an OVA, because it's going to be expensive, or something, and you're going to get, like, Mamoru Oshii or somebody to do it, or, like, Shiro Masamune.
Right.
Like, some cool cyberpunk shit. Like, there's actually a segment in, a compilation movie, a compilation of shorts made by one animator. I think it was Oshii in this case. I can't remember which one it was. It wasn't Robot Dreams, even though that is one. But there's this segment called The Running Man that's basically just like what I want out of an F-Zero X anime. So, yeah, look that up. It's not the Schwarzenegger movie. Although that's also fun to watch. But yeah, I've been playing that. I've been playing, like, some fighting games, of course. Got some Street Fighter the movie in. Got some One Must Fall in. Other than that, yeah, not much for me in the way of stuff I've been playing. Other than, like, I was playing Minish Cap until I accidentally dropped the handheld behind my couch.
Oh, no. What were you playing it on?
I can't remember who made it. It's, like, one of those Android handhelds.
Yeah.
Like an RGX GM, whatever the fuck. It's good enough to, like, run Dreamcast games full speed, so... There's also, like, a fork of PCSX2 in there, and I saw that, and I was like, no fucking way, but I couldn't get it to run.
Right.
But, yeah, I was playing it on that. Like, the Game Boy emulation is basically perfect. I didn't have any problems there. I did not... really like the game much, so
no.
I'm gonna say the words A Link to the Past a lot within the next 10 minutes, so brace yourself.
Do you know you were on the same page? It was made by Capcom, right?
Yeah, I know that.
Cool,
and Capcom's
cool.
done good stuff before. Like I like the Oracle of
The
Ages and
Oracle
Seasons
games,
games. Yeah.
yeah, I liked those. I think I like them better than this one, but I'm not as low on Minish Cap, I think, probably as you are.
I wouldn't call it a bad game. Like, I don't regret playing it or anything. I just, like, let me rephrase it. Of the Zelda games I have played, it is not one of my favorites.
Okay, that's
My
fair.
biggest criticism of it is that, one, it feels like it would like was going out of its way to remind me of Link to the Past. Like, a lot of the music tracks are just remixes of stuff from Link to the Past. Like the map feel and how you traverse feels like Link to the Past a lot. And the stuff that wasn't Link to the Past was Four Swords.
Yeah,
And
kind of
that's a
like
minor quibble, although I did keep thinking as I was playing it, man, I could be playing Link to the Past, like, fuck. But
it's a shame, yeah.
my biggest problem with it is way too handholdy. So thinking back to how quests and shit work in A Link to the Past, yes, the medallion locations are marked on your map when you like by Sezra Hollow when you fucking go to the first dungeon or whatever. But I feel like there's still a lot of shit to like find and discover that isn't necessarily tutorialized to you out of the box. Whereas Minish Cap, it told me where to go. It dedicated a button to me that was previously the map button, and this kept really fucking pissing me off. It dedicated a button to me asking my hat where to go, which I feel like that should have been the menu option and the map should have been on that button. I don't know if there was an option in there to change it. I didn't find one. But yeah, that decision bugged me. And also just a lot of quests where since they're handholding you for everything, instead of feeling like discovery, it just feels like a list of shit that the game's giving me to do. Like, let's take the one where you have to wake the cobbler up to get Pegasus boots, right?
Yeah.
So someone told me and marked on my map, hey, you should get some Pegasus boots. Here you go. I go there, and then I find out, oh shit, I need to go to the witch in the swamp and get a thing, like get the fucking mushroom to wake the guy. Here's a marker on your map. Go traverse half, like the entire map distance again, and then come back. And the first time, even though the game's holding your hand, it was holding my hand on everything except for being kind of ambivalent on what I was actually getting from the witch. So I bought the fucking like pet potion that she has, you know, the thing that restores your shit. Because I didn't
Yeah.
know, like, that wasn't what I wanted. I brought that to the cobbler, and then I just drank it myself, and I was like, well, fuck, obviously that wasn't it. It turns out it was the mushroom that I thought was just, like, a background element. So I bring all that shit to that guy, so then now I have the boots, so now I can go back to the thing that had told me I needed the boots in the first place and get into the actual, like, meat of the dungeon area. And I'm just, that's a lot of, like, it's not the fact that I had to do all of those things, but it's the fact that I knew I was doing all of those things. There's no, and I know like these Zelda games aren't the deepest RPGs, but I didn't really feel a sense of discovery in the way that I did when playing like A Link to the Past or like even something like Ocarina of Time or like, I feel like this is the complaint that a lot of people have with Metroid Fusion, which ironically I don't have this complaint with Metroid Fusion, but like, mostly because Metroid Fusion will like get you to listen to the computer and then fuck with you, which I love. But yeah, I don't know. It just felt too tutorialized to me, and then the bosses weren't really difficult at all. Like I know it's a kid's game, but it felt like a kid's game, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I think that is where the difference in the Zelda games. I can't remember the Oracle games because it's been so long. All those got added to the Switch as well, so I
Nice.
should play through those again. Were those as tutorial heavy? I can't remember.
I
Is this
don't
just like
remember
a
it. I
Capcom
know it didn't
thing?
like. I know that like it definitely wasn't nearly as map marker heavy and like telling you exactly
I
where to
didn't
go.
like the map markers. Yeah, that's not something I expect from a Zelda game. I didn't like that either. I'm with you on that. Although it was, you know, if you want to complete a game quickly, it helps. But
oh yeah, I fucking chug through that thing, like at least half of it.
Yeah, I don't look forward to like playing games where I have like just a map marker and like just go to this map marker, now go to this map marker, now go to this map marker and do something. I don't like that.
And it doesn't help that, like, at least in the case of a 2D Zelda, like, but usually the exploration is the thing, like, because honestly, like, that from the series inception, like, there have been interviews with Miyamoto where he was like, I based it on looking, like, going through the woods and exploring when I was a kid. So, like, exploration's the base, and the combat in these games, I mean, it's serviceable. It does what it needs to. I'm talking about the 2D ones exclusively. I know the 3D ones are a bit, like, more interesting in terms of combat, but, like, it's just serviceable. It's not amazing. So if you make the exploration part rote, you are just left with, like, unfulfilling combat.
Yeah. It's true. I liked the look of it. I liked the graphics.
Oh, yeah. I think it looks good. I think it sounds real good, too. Like, I liked a lot of those remixes.
Yeah, the art style was cool. I liked the remix and the soundtrack. I did have some fun with some of the dungeons. I don't know. I had a good time. I didn't finish it because I got tied up with Tears of the Kingdom. Much better game. But, yeah, it was a good time while it lasted. But I'm kind of wanting to go back to the Oracle games now and kind of see what those were like, because I remember those pretty fondly, a lot more so than Minish Cap. So
I actually want to play them. I just kind of like, I never had a Game Boy, like, or a Game Boy Color growing up. I didn't get until like the Game Boy Advance, which granted I could have bought those for it, but I never did, because you're gonna buy Game Boy Advance games usually, like,
yeah.
So sure. I would always like play them borrowed from friends, and like they would have full save files, and I wouldn't want to like delete any because I don't know like if they're like siblings or whatever. So I would just pick one and then stumble bum around not really knowing what to do. So I'd love to actually play them. That and like Link's Awakening. I have that Switch remake that's still in the fucking plastic. I think
that's still one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite freaking remakes ever. I still go back and play that game regularly, because you can just, if you know the game, which I do very well, I've played the original so many times. I even have like the little Game and Watch that has it on it.
Nice.
And if you know the game really well, you could like go through and like 100% complete that like really quick. And it's just fun to do. It's like that's like another comfort food game for me sometimes. Like on the Switch, I'll boot it up. It looks really good. It's fun. It's old school, but looks new. The like fresh coat of paint, like the graphic style and everything else is really cool. The sound, like the actual like soundtrack and like the sounds in the game and stuff is like just really, really cool. Everything's just great in that game. And it's just like a real good feel good game.
Nice. Yeah, I liked the things that they were doing with the depth of field and doing that perspective thing where you make like shit look miniaturized.
Yeah.
That looked real cool to me.
I wish that Nintendo would remake like more of the 2D Zeldas, not in that exact art style, but like in a modern take. You know what I mean? Like I feel like there's a lot of like really good old school 2D Zelda games that are kind of just still look too old school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They like to fuck with it. Like they made like a Link Between Worlds, but they usually do more stuff like that than like direct remakes. Sequel.
Yeah, I liked a Link Between Worlds. I didn't like it as much as everyone else liked it.
I still haven't played it.
I kind of just want like a Link's Awakening, kind of like a Link to the Past, done like in a modern like style, like in the vein of Link's Awakening. Like I would like more of that. That would be nice, but I doubt we get a lot of it.
Yeah, that would be cool though. But that's my Minish Cap review. I think that if you're into Zelda games and you haven't played it, it's better than the one that's on the fucking train, that's for damn sure.
The Spirit Tracks.
Yeah, Spirit Tracks.
Yeah, what was the other one? Phantom Hourglass. That one's terrible too.
Yeah, it's better than those. It's probably better than Skyward Sword.
DS really got it bad with the whole fucking Zelda stuff. You know, the DS didn't really get a good one, did they?
No, they that was kind of the point where they didn't really know what the fuck they were doing with like the franchise, like, 'cause I think at that point you had like Twilight Princess, aka Hot Topic Zelda, come out, and so everything was like really gothy and like argh, like angsty. But that's hard to do with the top-down style, so they reverted to like Wind Waker art, but like then you're kind of waffling on what the fuck the series actually is. And then they did the Nintendo thing of like trying to jam in new mechanics and shit that weren't fully thought out.
Yeah.
And you know, just kind of served to actually weaken the game. I never played that weird ass Tingle game that got released. I think that might have been a Club Nintendo exclusive here, actually. Or it might just not have come out. Like freshly picked Tingle's Rosie Rupee Land. I never fuck with that.
Yeah. I have no idea. I never did either. The 3DS got some good ones. You know, they got the Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask remakes. Which are stranded on there right now, which sucks. The Wind Waker and Twilight Princess remakes are stranded on the Wii U, which it's not fun. I wish those would come to the
Yeah,
Switch.
that's
You
real
mentioned the code.
surprising that like I
They're
guess
saving it.
the code bases must just be that different to where like porting would be some
No,
effort.
I don't think it's it. I think they're saving it.
Oh.
I mean, they've got to just be saving it because they've had so much Zelda shit lately. They haven't had like a drought. They haven't had like a great spot to release it. I mean, they had Breath of the Wild for a while, and then you know, they had the Skyward Sword remake, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not as down on Skyward Sword as many other people. I actually quite like it. I mean, it definitely has its flaws, but I played the remake and it was fun. And then they had Tears of the Kingdom. And then they've been trickling things out with like the Nintendo Switch Online stuff. I think that the remakes will launch on the next console.
Yeah, hopefully
Because
they
you.
aren't stranded. There are still fucking versions of Street Fighter Alpha 3 that are like stuck on PSP.
Nah, there's just been so many rumors of the Twilight Princess Wind Waker remakes coming. And you know how Nintendo loves money.
Yeah, I can definitely see him doing it.
They'll definitely release them at some point, somewhere, when there's just like a moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and I missed Link's Awakening was also somewhere in there, on the Switch. Like they've just had tons of Zelda stuff. They don't need to like what were they gonna do? Release Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, and Tears of the Kingdom in the same year? No, they're not gonna do that. They're
Yeah,
not gonna do that.
they might as well ask for a Zelda All-Stars pack.
Yeah, I know, and I don't want that. I just want the remakes. I just want the remakes on the Switch, and they'll probably sell them separately for more money. But whatever.
I assume it'll just be like, $30 or whatever. Like the price that you pay for remasters and ports, although that's not even true anymore, is it?
No, Red Dead Redemption just got announced for PS4 and Switch. I think it comes out like tomorrow. For $50.
Yeah, I guess that whole thing about that game being like really fucking weirdly written was just some horse shit that got made up on Reddit or something. 'Cause, it's on fucking Switch now.
Yeah, how's that happen?
Still no
I mean, it
PC
is a
port
really
though.
old
That's mad
game.
weird.
Yeah, that is weird. It is a really old game. I wouldn't be surprised because they're launching it for PS4 only. Which, I mean, PS5 is backwards compatible, so it'll work on there. But, like, they're doing that. They're not releasing, like, a PS5 version that could be, like. Because I'm assuming the PS4 version is not going to be 4K 60.
Yeah, that's also
You know what I
odd.
mean? So I think this was like, I think that there's probably a remake or something coming. And this announcement was basically for the Switch, but oh yeah, also the PS4. So there's a way for people on PlayStation to not to be able to play it without streaming it. Because
Yeah.
that was the only way to play it before.
Fucking PlayStation now.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see how it runs on Switch. Like, that's not where I'd want to play that game, but
Yeah, I mean, the Switch does have the power to, like, run it in, it's more powerful than the 360, so.
true. Yeah. And that's the system it came out on, so
It
maybe
might
it
be.
won't look that bad.
I mean, it'll probably be just like, 720 across the board. It won't have like the weird, how the 360 would like lie to you basically, like it's, oh, this game's in
Yeah.
720 or 1080, but the internal game resolution is like 364 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like Gears of War like to do that.
Yep. We still play around with shit like that. Well, not that low resolution, but basically they'll be like, oh yeah, it's 4K, you know, and it's not.
Yeah, or like the weird adaptive res shit that Halo Infinite does.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see, but I imagine those games probably everything seems to be like $50 for remasters and stuff now, because games are like $70 when they come out.
You know what game isn't $70? And this brings me to what is probably going to be our game that we play for next time.
What?
Armored Core 6. It's
Oh, I
regular
can't
human game
wait.
price.
What is that? What's
$60.
regular
It was
human? Oh,
$60,
wow. Wow.
and there was no, get the extra special Jizz Lord edition to get like a day extras of gameplay or whatever the fuck, or like early access, or like I think I got a couple parts for pre-ordering it, and then the only tier was like, do you want the digital art book and soundtrack? And then there's the one that comes with the statue that like
It looks fun, dude.
I didn't get the legendary edition or whatever the fuck you want to call it, like, but I was really tempted, but like I have so many fucking plastic robots that I need to fuck with already, so. But yeah, that game looks sick. I'm real fucking excited. It looks like what I wanted, which is them figuring out how to do the combat from like the PlayStation 2 era Armored Core games in a way that like the people who like the PlayStation 3 era Armored Core games would also enjoy.
Yeah.
And like the
Yeah.
gameplay preview where like you're going up against that big ass arms fort and you have to like take out one of the fucking legs, and then the whole level falls over and then you get on it.
Yeah. Yeah, this looks like a good time. I'm kind of excited to play Baldur's Gate 3 too.
Yeah, that game looked cool. I might end up picking that up at some point. I'm not like the biggest RPG guy, or at least like non-ARPG guy, I guess turn-based, if I could speak like someone who knows what a video game is. I
I love
usually
video.
I guess that's kind of more of a turn-based tactics game though, and I do like those.
It is more like that. I don't know if you ever played like the Divinity Original Sin games or anything like that.
No, I haven't.
It's the same people that make those.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, everyone's raving about it. It's got like 97 on Metacritic.
Yeah, another game that released at $60 and also didn't have a bunch of like monetization or battle passes or any other fucking bullshit, and it's raking in like crazy. So hey, every other publisher besides FromSoft, take heed. You can make fully fledged video games and still make money off of them.
And people won't shit on them.
Not everything has to be a live service game like that fucking Exo Primal game that Capcom released that like apparently actually plays good, but like nobody cared because it looks like Anthem, Destiny, Overwatch.
Anthem, Destiny, Watch.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me, I did play some TF2 when they had their big renaissance of reminding people that the game exists. And that game's still
Oh, yeah.
fucking hella fun. And I'm glad that it has more players at this point than Overwatch 2 does. I find that really funny.
Oh yeah, that is hilarious.
I was never much of an Overwatch fan, to be honest. Just like I saw it and I was like, so this is TF2, except it has the personality of like the Avengers movies, but without having the superheroes that people like. I don't know. I never was much of a fan of that. It played fine until they fucked it up, but. And then Overwatch 2 did that stupid bait and switch where they were like, oh yeah, we're going to add in a bunch of single player content, and then they canceled it, and then they like sold different shittier single player content.
Yeah. Super good call.
Yeah, great job, Activision. But yeah, I think our next game should definitely be Armored Core 6, unless you had something else that you were burning to play.
No, not really. Remind me the day that one comes out.
I think it's the 25th, something like that.
It's very, very close.
Yeah, it's real fucking close. Let me look, actually. Armored Core 6 release date. The 24th, so closer.
Oh, man, it's a fucking week. Dude.
Yeah, we are breathing down the fucking neck of that. That's going to be next Thursday.
That's exciting. Yeah, that's the next one then.
We'll play
that and then talk about it.
There is no way in fuck that you're getting a negative review of that game out of me.
Yeah.
Unless it somehow makes my controller grow a robot arm that then punches me directly in the nuts.
The entire time you're playing it.
Yeah.
Which Frank would still probably play it for hours.
Yeah, you're not fucking ripping me away from that game, but that'll be fucking cool. Did you have anything else you wanted to cover?
No, man, that's it.
All right, well, I think that's going to be it for this episode. We will catch you later.
Catch you later.